Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the Greg Wilson.
Hey.
I just got back from El Paso today.
That's right.
I was on a 5:30 flight. A layover in Phoenix. He got here.
Oh, you got the connecting, man. That's the worst.
It's now
it's such a short flight anyway.
I know. It's like sleep for 10 minutes and you get up. But first, I want to thank our sponsors, American Icon Autographs.
You have been up since 4 in the morning. Holy crap.
American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com, the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. Signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, everything else in between. Their past signings have included Fedor, Sakuraba, Rampage, Big Nog, Hoyce Gracie, Marlise Conan, and more. Check out their website to see who's signing next. Go to their events, meet the celebrities, and build your man cave. AIASE.com. The guy in charge, his name is Sean.
Nice guy.
Could not be a cooler guy. So thank you, Sean, for your sponsorship. Thank you for being you. Also, Tip a Fighter. We had a bunch of guys last week who won. Pretty much the entire Korean top team is with Tip a Fighter. Hopefully you guys made it rain on these guys. Listen, fighters are underpaid. We talk to fighters all the time that say they have trouble paying for their fight camp.
Yeah.
Guys working 2, 3, 4 jobs, okay? This is not a problem that's going to solve itself overnight. However, we can make a difference, and that's by Tip a Fighter. We can pay these fighters, okay, but reward them for their hard work. You know, you like the way a guy fights, like the way a girl fights. Ashley Evan Smith just won a world championship in jiu-jitsu this weekend. She's a Tip a Fighter. Give her some money, okay?
Yeah.
They really appreciate it. Trust me. Bubba's fight shorts, he just auctioned them off.
Did he really?
Yes.
That's
okay,
great.
To the,
those must have smelled great.
To the highest tipper.
yeah. I hope you didn't wash it.
So fighters, there's no reason that you shouldn't be with this. You're fighting anyway. Might as well make more money. The fans are more than happy to give you guys tips. So, tipafighter.com. Also, I want to thank D-Cypher. It's a lifestyle firm designed to help you reach your full potential through personal coaching. Look, people, everybody needs a personal coach. Everybody can benefit from feedback and an outside perspective. D-Cypher brings that to you. They'll help you reach your dreams, define success, and help you achieve the life you've always wanted. You're not going to find this level of coaching anywhere else. So call them at 1-888-731-COACH and book your free coaching session. Again, that's 1-888-731-2622. Now, fighters, when I said everyone needs a personal coach, I meant everybody. D-Cypher has helped fighters learn how to pull the trigger in fights, how to deal with octagon jitters, and even help fighters set themselves up for success after fighting and much, much more. So go to di-cypher.com. Call them up, 1-888-731-COACH, 1-888-731-2622. And for all the MMA Roast listeners, you get a free intake session. And if you book D-Cypher long-term, use the code ROASTED for 10% off all services. How cool is that?
You know, this live coaching thing, I actually really believe in this, and I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
Because you can't really, you know how it's easy to give other people advice?
Yes.
Because you can see them from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very hard to see yourself
from
the outside.
Yes.
And sometimes you just need someone else to just be able to level with you and tell you the truth. And you're never going to get the real truth from your friends.
Exactly.
You know, because they're worried about other factors.
And they want you to like them and this and that.
Exactly. So, sometimes you just need someone that can level with you.
I totally agree. So, how was my Thanksgiving? I'll talk about my Thanksgiving, then we'll go to your Thanksgiving.
Okay, sounds good. Tell me about your Thanksgiving. How many porn stars were there?
I got invited to a porn star Thanksgiving party.
Of course you did.
But
of course you did.
I didn't go.
Did they just serve fish?
I don't know what. I heard there was going to be an orgy afterwards, but I actually
exactly.
turned it down. I actually said, you know what? I went and saw Creed on Thanksgiving.
My family went to see it on Tuesday night.
You go see it too?
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was great.
I actually teared up like 6 or 7 times.
I did too. Well, I did whenever they would reminisce about the old movies. That's what I like the way they saved the big anthem, the one you know from Rocky, till the very end.
I
thought
loved
that was
it.
Brilliant.
You know what? I had my doubts going in. I'm like, I don't know, Creed, really? Did Apollo even have a son? And then I just went out all in. I couldn't believe it. I found myself crying. I think it's one of the best ones I've seen. I think in all the trilogies, you go 1, 4, and then Creed.
Two is spectacular.
I don't know.
And three. I think it literally goes 1, 3, 2, 4, then Creed.
No way. Four is, I think, 1 and 4. I would even put 4 on, better than 1 in some regards. I mean, come on. When
what?
Yeah, when James Brown come out and this one, and the Russian.
Rocky is one of the great American
films. I know. But
the original is a true cinema.
It is true cinema, but 4 was damn fun.
It was. And, listen, it's hard to beat Drago.
So that was good.
You know, recently I was playing poker with Carl Weathers.
Really?
Yeah.
How was he?
And he's amazing. He's super great. And we're sitting there, and there was this older blonde lady. It was at a charity event. Mm-hmm. And there was this older blonde lady who was, she was a sneaky poker player. She was winning some hands. And so I go, oh, I'll just wait for Drago's mom over here to clean you out. And he just died laughing.
Oh,
he
nice.
Was like, you nailed it. You nailed it. He loved that reference. And after that, he and I were buds at the table the rest of the night. It was a great time.
Yeah, no, he was great. And this kid Michael B. Jordan, it was great too.
Yeah, he was great. No, it was a very good movie.
And that girl was hot. His girlfriend was smoking hot too.
Oh yeah, but she's the daughter of Lisa Bonet and
oh really? Is that who that is?
And Lenny Kravitz.
Really?
Yeah, that's their daughter.
I didn't even know that.
Yep.
And it was great seeing Stitch in there. Stitch, you got fired from the UFC, the cut man.
Yeah, the cut man, that's right. Cool. I was like, oh my God, they're using real boxing people. That's nice.
Yeah,
they used
Andre Ward was in it. And the other guy, the bad guy, was a real fighter.
Yeah.
So I recommend Creed to everybody. It was damn awesome.
It's a good movie.
I might go see it again. That's how good it was. So anyway, I was in El Paso doing comedy.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How's your sides AIDS?
Good. My sides AIDS is at the – it's actually – I got a call from the doctor. It's not herpes. I thought it was mad herpes. And they said it's not mad herpes.
Is it ringworm?
No, I think it's shingles.
You know what's funny? I saw, they have a shitty new ad out for it where it shows what shingles looks like.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. But I swear to God, I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I think that's
what I have. I have shingles, yeah. And it's like stress related. And it comes when I get stressed and it gets itchy. And sometimes when I'm on stage, it gets itchy. I know how I'm doing on my...
Based on whether or not it starts itching.
Yeah, I know how my set's
like glowing,
going.
It starts glowing and shit.
I know if I'm having a good comedy set. I know exactly when to turn it on, turn it off. Based
it's like
on
a
my,
mood ring.
It really is like a mood ring on my thing. So I was in El Paso doing comedy, and the crowds were great. It was all mostly Mexican. Me and Aaron.
Well, it is El Paso.
And I love the Mexican crowds. Even like, you know, sometimes you have to wait a little longer after the joke because they're translating it to English in their head. But you know that's true.
It's not true.
I'm telling you, there was like a delay on when they would laugh.
Okay.
I went, but
because I headlined there too. I'm actually headlining over Christmas.
I know, but I think my comedy's a little more cerebral. So, but they were
that is the first and only time your comedy will be referred to as cerebral
compared to yours. So
I'm not calling my comedy cerebral.
I'm just telling you,
we're both funny.
I know,
but we aren't exactly, you know,
cerebral. I know, yeah. But it was a great. Actually, there was one show where, like, a late show where, like, everyone in the crowd had like gang tattoos on their head,
nice.
and just on their front face. So I was like, good for San Quentin, and they were dying laughing. They bought T-shirts afterwards. It was
great.
There
are great crowds out there. I love.
Then I went to a strip club with Aaron.
Which one?
We went to one of the ghetto ones because like.
Oh, was it Dreams?
And I'm not gonna say which one it was, but we go there and
I like a club that uses Z instead of an S.
And the girl was like, hey, you want a lap dance? I'm like, I'll give you a lap dance. I want to see if I still had it, right?
Right.
She's like, okay, but you got to give me $20. I'm like, all right. So I start giving her a lap dance, right? And then she's going crazy. And she's like, hey, you want to have sex for $200? At $200, we can have sex. And I was like, no, I'm not going to pay for sex. You know, I was like, I don't even have a condom. If you wanted to have sex, number two, I'm not going to pay, but thank you. She goes, okay, $40.
She needs Decipher.
She needs Decipher. I said, no, thank you. She was a sweetheart, though. She was cool. But,
she was a sweetheart because she went down from 200 to 40.
I was like, they need to open a business school next door. So that was
what
crazy.
What strong negotiating skills. All right, 40.
Yeah, but
she must have actually wanted to fuck you.
I think she came to the show after couple days later. Yeah, we like became friends. She was a cool chick, but
she's the only girl you haven't fucked that gets paid for sex.
So anyway, but yeah, you know what it is? It's like I think I'm still on a journey. I'm on my journey to find a girlfriend. I really am. Yeah. I really am looking for the right person. But to me, it's like a road trip. It's like New York to California. And you know on your road trip, you take stops at certain states.
Some are truck stops.
Some
are monuments.
Yeah, I've taken a lot of stops.
A lot of truck stops.
A lot of stops to get, you know, like you see the Grand Canyon. You stop off in Vegas. You stop off in El Paso.
Billings, Montana,
Kentucky. So I've taken lots of stops. I was thinking, like, I don't really have a type. Like with...
See, here's your problem. Because you start in New York, you drive straight into the ocean. And you drown for a while, then you pull yourself off and you get in a flight to LA. That's your road trip. That's how you do it.
I don't really have a type. Like with music, it's everything but country, you know? But with girls, it's everything but ISIS, you know? So, but I am looking for... Anyway, how is your...
I think I could defile a few ISIS ladies.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
A couple of those girls...
I'd like to fill them up with the love of Christ.
You see those girls that joined ISIS like 2 weeks ago? They were like kind of
hot. Right, the hot girl.
And then they tried to leave, and then they got killed.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you thinking?
What are they? You know what? They just, you know, they got to be contrarian. This is what young people are all about. This is what we were about. That's the way it is. You just want to be a contrarian. You want to do what no one else would ever. Oh, my God. Like, it used to be just getting a tattoo, you know? But then that exploded and everybody got tattoos. The only thing left you could do to shock your parents is fucking join ISIS.
I mean, can you imagine the parents? They must have been like, oh, why couldn't they just become strippers?
Right, exactly. Why couldn't they get a tattoo? They probably were like offering him coke at the airport. Don't go and I'll let you do blow.
Can you imagine your daughter joins ISIS? I mean, could that...
And remember, he was banging black guys for a while, but that doesn't shock anybody anymore. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, in youth, we're teenagers. They always want to do something to shock people. That's what they want to do. You know, and we've gone from tattoos to black guys. The only thing left is joining.
Well,
ISIS.
If you're thinking about joining the ISIS, call Decipher. Yeah, they will tell you that that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful. I got to go home, spend some time with my family, see them, eat the bird. You know, the whole thing.
Oh, nice. So I heard a story about you from the road.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, so this host, nice guy, he's the host of the show. His name is Adam something, and he was telling me. Yeah, Greg Wilson. First time I worked with Greg Wilson, right? I was nervous because I heard all these stories about him, right? So I said,
I'm a legend in my own mind.
So I said, how did it go? He goes, well, he's on stage, first show, which must have been like the Wednesday show if it was the first show.
Yeah,
right?
And here's the thing, and I'll say this right now. Whenever I get to town, I always get out of the gate a little fast.
He goes,
like, I party way too hard night one.
So they said excited. So he's watching your show. He goes on stage. He goes, man, that girl's got the biggest tits. Look at those. He starts looking at every girl's tits, right, from the stage.
Okay.
Then you bring them all on stage, right? And then you go, what would it take for you to flash the crowd, right? So you get two girls to flash right away. They flash. Then the third girl goes, I'm not flashing. No way. And then she's like, my boyfriend's right there. So then you say to the boyfriend, is it cool? And the boyfriend's like, hell no. And then you go, hey, how about I give you $30 if you flash? And they go, okay. Before you know it, you had seven girls flashing on stage. Then he said, you went from one end to the other, motorboating the entire list of women.
It's called a 14 titty face mash.
Is this what you did?
I've done it a lot.
This is your act?
This is not even the first time I've done that.
That's your act?
If I get a little riled up, it can happen.
On the Wednesday night, the first...
I know, that's what I said. I get out of the gate a little fast.
Dude, he was like...
Oh. I did it in Maui, too, when I was headlining the 420 Comedy Festival. Oh. I think I did a 10 titty face mash.
The host said he was like... Man, this is going to be some week. Like this, he said he couldn't believe that you were doing that.
Yeah.
That's
sometimes I get a little gonzo.
So that's actually true.
Yes.
All right. So then, let's talk MMA. So I watched the fights over the weekend. Ben Henderson looked great. He looked best I've seen him in a while. And he's in a tough situation because he can beat all the guys that are not ranked number one or two, it seems.
Right.
Everybody who's not named Dos Anjos or Pettis, Henderson can beat. And Masvidal is a good fighter. He's not beating scrubs.
But it was a split decision, wasn't it?
Split decision. I thought Henderson won.
But you thought it was pretty clear?
It was pretty clear. There were some rounds you could argue that Masvidal won. It wasn't a robbery by any means.
Well, you know,
Henderson won.
A win is a win.
But he said he's going to explore other options, possibly go to Bellator or whatever, possibly explore other options, see what it offers on the table. And there's a guy who like might be in that same category as like a Phil Davis, where he beats everyone that he should beat. beats a lot of really great guys, but can't beat the upper echelon. And he, at one point, he could. He was the champion.
Yeah, totally.
And I still think he can on the right day. You never know. We have not seen Dos Anjos, who's allegedly going to be off the juice, as other fighters are saying on the show. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how he does. And Pettis also is injured all the time, so who knows there.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to... But Ben did look great. He actually looked great. I hope he does not go to Bellator or World Series, because I think he's a great... I wouldn't say he's a gatekeeper, but he's also a guy that'll take a fight on 3 days' notice.
Yeah.
Or a fight at any weight class. So he might get a shot, because someone might bail out.
Drops out, and gets injured, he's in.
He's a guy who does not need an eight-week training camp.
Right.
Dong Kim... there were two Dongs.
There were two Dongs. One was Dong and one was Jong.
No, they were
Dongy.
No, they were both.
That's what it was. Dong and Dongy.
The two Dong Kim looked great. I'm talking about the bigger Dong Kim.
Yeah, yeah.
Who the more famous Dong Kim?
Dong Kim. He's the Korean fight promoter. Dong Kim.
Dong Kim is like Mike Smith, I guess, in Korea. The name Mike Smith.
Yeah.
So Dong Kim, I felt bad for this guy. This guy Dominic Waters. He goes over there, right? He lost his first UFC fight. He's a good fighter. I mean, he's with Greg Jackson's. He gets caught in a throw, and then he gets to a crucifix and just pounded out. And it looked like a big brother versus a little brother of, like, just
the
holding a guy down.
Brutal.
Yeah, and he just, I was thinking about, like, you know, when I used to wrestle, I'd go to sometimes these summer tournaments, and one time I got pinned in like 30 seconds. You just get caught in a throw. You're just like, fuck. And you're like, man, I wasted all that time training. I can't imagine what it must be like for this guy, Dominic Waters, to have no UFC wins, to go over to Korea. That flight is brutal.
The flight back is the worst part, probably.
Yeah, you go there and you just get thrown on your head and beat up and thrown home. I mean, damn, that's got to suck.
That's got to suck.
That has to suck.
Yeah.
They should make the movie called Waters after Creed about the guy. But damn, that must suck.
The whole thing's just the flight home. Everything else is told in flashback.
Damn. And now Mina went over Akiyama. That was a fight. I mean, Akiyama's a 170. He looks huge right now at a 170. He's like a... But that was a bad decision. I thought Akiyama won. But that first round, you might have scored it for Akiyama. He got robbed. Akiyama got robbed. A Japanese guy got robbed in Korea.
Well, you know, Koreans hate the Japanese.
I think it's more the other way around. Like when I was in Japan and Korea, if you confuse, like, oh, they want to kill you.
Absolutely. No. Apparently all the other Asian countries, while they don't particularly like each other, they all hate Japan because Japan has invaded all of them at some point throughout history.
So
they hate the Japanese.
I know. I remember being in Korea doing comedy for the military tour, and there was a Korean rapper that was like big in Japan.
Oh, man.
No, but they were so
big
proud.
Big in Japan.
Because he was accepted. They were so proud of him.
Right.
Because the Koreans financially are not doing as well as the Japanese.
Right. It's like when a Canadian makes it in the U.S.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you made it, man. You beat
Well, it's crazy, though, like, because...
like Nickelback.
How much nicer my experience was, and I'm not saying this is not... I don't want to get all these letters from people in Japan or whatever, or podcasts.
I'm not weighing in on it one way or the other.
No,
I'm
but
just
my
saying
experience,
historically,
my
that's what I found
no, my
about
personal,
culture,
my personal experience. Was when I went to Korea, the young people love the Americans, like the real young people, the 5-year-olds. They love the soldiers that were there. The older people loved it because they were there for the Korean War. The millennials or whatever wanted the U.S. out of their country. That was the experience that I got. But the Koreans were so nice. You walk into a business, hey, blah, 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 because they need the business, you know?
Yeah.
Japanese were like, literally there were signs in Japan on certain bars saying no Americans allowed. I'll never forget because I guess some of the military guys got into fights there. Who knew what that happened? But if you had a sign in the U.S.
said no Japanese allowed.
Oh, God. It would be on the cover of every single newspaper.
The least popular sushi restaurant in America.
But seriously, I couldn't believe it. Like, I mean, there are other ways that Americans do that. They have golf clubs you have to be a member only, or there are more subtle ways of banning you from places, but they don't just say no Americans allowed in there. It was crazy. So that was
listen, with all the radiation and all the earthquakes, there's not going to be any Japanese people left in Japan pretty soon.
All right, so
hey, do you remember how the legend of Godzilla, do you remember what created Godzilla? It was radiation in the water.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Guess what's about to come true?
You think so?
Yeah, dude. We're a good 10 years away before Godzilla comes up out of the ocean and eats Tokyo.
Maybe.
It's going to happen.
Sam Cecilia was lost to this kid, the Korean Wonder Boy, who Sam Cecilia is one of those guys that, like, I love Sam. I love watching him fight. He's a great fighter. He doesn't even have a plan B. He's one of these guys just throws caution to the wind.
I like that.
Yeah, but it doesn't always work out for you.
Right,
you
not at all. If your game plan ain't working, you got no plan. Hey, you going down.
Yeah, that's what happened there. This kid's good. This kid's like 13-1, Wonder Boy. He's like the stud over there. They got Korean top teams, got some good guys. It did seem like they kind of matched him up against guys that they knew that they were...
Some marshmallows?
Not marshmallows. Samson's not a marshmallow, but they were like, okay, this guy's a striker. We're going to match him up with a striker. We're not going to put him against
style
a...
Style-wise.
Style-wise, it seemed they were great matchups. Right. Which is good. I mean, good. You got to build the what I was happy was that Klitschko lost over the weekend.
Yeah.
Which I was going to put money on fucking Tyson Fury before the fight. I go, watch. Tyson Fury's going to win. It was a 6-1 odds. But I'm like, eh. But now that I say that, he's probably not going to win. He won. And Klitschko looked like dog shit. And I like Klitschko. The thing is that Emmanuel Stewart was the best thing that happened for Klitschko, the worst thing that happened for boxing. Because he taught Lennox Lewis and Klitschko the same way of punch, punch, hold. And not even hold.
Right,
put all your weight on the guy's neck.
Right.
And he fights these shorter guys who have to get inside to beat him.
Right.
And they just put all their weight. It's like having a monster.
Makes boring fights.
Yeah, but also you got a behemoth guy sprawling on you.
Yeah.
And eventually it wears on you. So he finally fought a guy that was as big as him.
Totally.
Faster.
With more attitude.
More attitude. And then afterwards.
He's the Conor McGregor of boxing.
Kind of is, but he's not as good.
I felt like, though, he was clearly taking a page from the Conor McGregor promotional book and just blueprinting that into his own fights.
But then he's saying Aerosmith after he won. He took the mic and saying, don't want to miss a thing to his. And it was one of the.
That's great.
People were tweeting like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, is this a joke?
That's why he did. I'm telling you, he's seen what Conor McGregor was able to do. And he's like, I'm going to be that. I'm going to do these crazy things. And look, we're talking about it. You got a million tweets out of it. It works when you're a showman in addition to being the fighter.
I'll tell you, though, this guy, I give him a lot of credit because, I've been following him for a while. And he was always like this, like, there's a big, like, meme going around a gif of him punching himself in the face with an uppercut. Like, he's not the most coordinated guy.
Right.
He got knocked down, I think, twice by Steve Cunningham, who wasn't even a heavyweight. It was a blown-up cruiserweight. This guy, like, he really, I saw, like, the face-to-face, they had, like, an interview, him versus the other guy. Like, and this guy's a very smart, charismatic, fun guy. I think he's good. I think he loses to Deontay Wilder, though. If he doesn't lose to Klitschko in the rematch, if he somehow beats Klitschko, Wilder's going to beat him. Then we're going to have the first American champion.
Do you think that's even his real name? Do you think that's just a little
Tyson
little
Fury?
Bit, yeah, just a little bit of a wrestling touch he added.
I don't know
to
who
it.
This guy is. I heard he's like a gypsy or something. I mean, the guy is a character.
He lives out of a van down by the river.
Yeah, seriously. So we're going to call Johnny Hendrix right now.
Johnny Hendrix.
We got Johnny Hendrix on the show as well as his new nutritionist. He Johnny Hendrix has been making the rounds. He actually left Team Takedown last week. He left his team.
Wow.
Left his fighting team. And we're going to talk to him and his nutritionist who he's working with, who did a great job with Eddie Truck Gordon. I mean, Eddie looked ripped for him. So his last fight he lost, but he looked good. So we're going to call.
You're looking a little heavy.
I am?
Yeah.
I know.
Is it the holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, man. I was packed.
Hello.
Hey, is this Johnny Hendrix?
Yes, how you doing?
How's it going? It's Adam Hunter from MMA Roasted and D. Greg Wilson.
What's up, man?
Yeah. How y'all doing today?
Good. How are you doing today, man?
You know what? I am doing wonderful.
Good. Good. Last time I saw you was in Vegas. Remember at the pool party?
Yep.
Yeah, it was cool seeing you and your beautiful wife, and you were in Vegas. You were looking good. You seem happy. So what's going on, man? How's everything going? You've made the news recently. You left Team Takedown. Is that true?
Yeah, we're in the process right now. We haven't all the way gotten away from them, but right now we're in the process of it. And we're going to see what happens.
Now, why are you leaving Team Takedown? I mean, you've done so well with them. You got Mark Lehman, right? You got Kenny Monday over there. You got a good boxing coach. You got good training partners. What's the reason for leaving?
We couldn't see eye to eye on some things. And it's just time for me to sort of start moving on my own. I still have my boxing coach, Tony Cabela, at Ray's Boxing Gym, Reyes Boxing Gym. Not only that, but again, it's just one of those things that it's time to sort of see what I can do.
Now, was it the money thing? Because I know that there was a way that you guys split all the money, and it seemed like you were the big breadwinner for a long time, and the other guys were doing okay, but they weren't doing what you were doing. Was that the big issue?
I don't want to get all into the details, really. We just couldn't see the best way to say it is we couldn't see eye to eye on some things. And, we wanted it to work, but we couldn't come to a mutual understanding. And we just had to say, all right, man, I still like them. They're still great guys. And just move forward.
Gotcha. I mean, are you worried though? Cause like, I know Mark Lehman is such a high level grappling coach, and Kenny Monday is an Olympian wrestling coach. I mean, are you kind of concerned about not getting the same kind of training?
Well, realistically, yes and no. I mean, there's other, I can find another jiu-jitsu, roll around jiu-jitsu, place. Kenny's going to be, they're going to be tough to replace, but, I can do it. For example, I can always go back to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I can go back there, train there, have Coach Smith. If I have to do those things, I can. It just means I'm going to do a little bit more traveling, but it is what it is. Whatever it takes to get me back to where I want to be. Like I said, right now I have one striking coach. I have OSU. I do have a place I can train at, jiu-jitsu-wise. I really haven't right now because, I'm really focusing more on my hands because, the guys at the top tier right now, they're not really jiu-jitsu guys. They're more strikers.
Right. I know. Speaking of strikers, I mean, you have some of the most dangerous hands. I was looking through your highlight reel knockdown yesterday. There was some kid made a clip, and some of the guys that you were just taking out between Martin Campman, John Fitch in 12 seconds, Charlie Brenneman. I mean, you were just storching guys. Do you think maybe you fell in love a little bit with your power or no?
You know what? It wasn't the power. It's that I wanted to be cleaner. I wanted to wow people. I wanted to throw combinations. I wanted, my greatest compliment is somebody tried to put me next to a guy from Holland or, a kickboxing champion and said, if he would have fought him, he would lose. Well, yeah, because I'm not a kickboxer. I'm a MMA. I'm a mixed martial artist. So anytime they can say, man, he looks like he could compete in boxing. Oh, he looks like he could compete in kickboxing. That's great for me. But that's also what sort of got me away from the power side of it is that I was so focused on technique and throwing everything clean and good combinations and stuff like that I sort of forgot, what got me there. Some of it was, raw power. It didn't look fancy. It didn't look clean. It wasn't pretty, a pretty combination. It was just straight throw and see what happens.
So you're saying that you got away from that actually by becoming more of a technical boxer. You got away from the whole, just slugging it out.
Well, yeah, because I was so focused on not so much I'm an amateur when it comes to boxing. Okay, I've dibbled in it for about 8 years now, but I'm learning where now I'm starting to learn what I'm trying to, my coaches are teaching me is sort of, when can I land that hard shot? When should I throw that hard shot?
Right.
When should I mix it into my combination?
Right.
And I sort of get some of that in the fights. You know, I throw one or two, but it's not like every one of them. Where now, you know, I've been going with some really good boxers. I've been working with Tony Cabella on this. And what I'm learning is that, all right, boom, 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 pop, 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 boom, 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 boom. You know, you can do those things. And I'm starting to learn and find my rhythm.
Right.
You know, again.
That's my lovemaking style.
Is finding your rhythm. Yeah.
Right. Now your last fight against, your last fight that didn't happen against Woodley. I had read that when you went up to the camp against Matt Brown, you started camp around 190, 195, got down to 170. It was no problem. That you walked into the fight against Woodley, you came into camp around 210, 220. Is that true?
No, that's not true. I haven't seen, you know what? Even with me going away, you know, I went to Disney World. I went to, you know, I took a, you know, pretty much I had to take a month off because I had to wait for my body to recover.
Yeah.
I was 204. That's the biggest I could get. And so right now, the biggest I can get is 20, you know, if I saw 206, I feel sick. You know what I mean? I know I overate, and like the next day I'll pretty much starve myself to get me down. You know, right around 202 is where I started the last fight camp at.
Right.
And, I got down to 189, which was the best we've ever done. We got down to 189, 4 weeks out. I was like, dude, we got this. This is going to be in the bag. This is going to be the easiest weight cut ever. And you know, what, and again, it is my fault because I don't know, you know, I know how to eat clean. I know healthy, blah, 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 but I don't know really what all the food does for you, you know, and that's where Lewis or, Lutrition comes into play is that now he can sit there and say, you know, for example, I ate a lot of deer meat. I ate a lot of protein. Okay. Protein's good, but not in the way that I was eating it. All right. The way that I was eating it, you know, three meals a day. I love deer. It's one of my favorite meals to have.
So good.
But what I learned is that I was intaking way too much protein, and protein, it's not even the protein that hurts you. It's the, it's a powder, creatine. Right. It's the creatine in the meat that actually was holding water in my muscles, and that's why my organs dried up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Were you even cooking the deer or just killing it and eating it right there?
Hey, you know what? There's a part of me that, hey, don't tempt me.
There's nothing like fresh venison, boy.
You know, and then realistically, that's a learning curve on me. You know, it sucks that I didn't get the fight. Because we were ready for it. But now that I look back, I'm going, okay, I learned a valuable lesson there. Okay, you need somebody. You got to have somebody to help you cut weight because I didn't go to school for it.
Right.
You know, all my coaches, they didn't go to school for it. And I'd tell them, hey, this is, you know, this is what I weigh. This is this. And, you know, I even had a coach with me that whenever I hit 189, 4 weeks out, they're like, dude, you're doing great. But I didn't know how to put the combination of foods together in the right places at the right time. And in return, instead of losing muscle or instead of losing water out of my muscles, I lost it in places that I really needed it.
Right.
And that's what hurt me. And
I mean, but the part of you, I know you've been cutting weight since high school. You were a three-time state champ in high school. You were a two-time national champ in college. Do you think maybe the weight was coming off easier back then now that you're kind of approaching, I don't know, 30? Is this not as easy to come off?
You know what? It's still coming off easy because, you know, even whenever the Matt Brown fight, I mean, that was one of my easiest weight cuts I've had in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things that I thought, you know, I'm the guy that – if something's good, how can you make it better? Instead of sit there and say, all right, this is good. What I did for Matt Brown, do it again.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I want to make it better. How can I make it better? I'll do this, this, and this. Instead of sitting there saying, you idiot, stick with what works and move forward.
Now, at what point, the week of the fight, right? You're getting there. You got all your family coming to see you. It's in Houston, right? The fight was supposed to be in Houston.
Yeah.
Now, when you, at what point, when as soon as you go to the hospital, is that when you realize, fuck, I'm not going to fight? And how much did you feel like you let your family down, your friends down, all the fans?
I found out, realistically, what happened. I went to go work out. I'd put in an hour of my normal weight cutting, and I lost a pound. And at that point, I should have lost anywhere from 5 to 6, even or 4 to 5, even in that the last day of weight cutting should have been 4 to 5, easy. Right. So I was like, oh, that's weird. And then all of a sudden, you get a cramp. You know, I had a sharp pain, and it felt like somebody was digging a knife in your side. Oof. You know, I was like, ah, that's weird. So we continued. We did another hour, and all of a sudden, I'm like, dude, it's getting worse. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. I get on the scale, I lost another pound. I'm like, oh, good grief. You got to be kidding me. Well, then it got to a point that I couldn't, you know, it hurt to walk. It hurt to, you know, pretty much do anything. All I could do is lay down, and I had to stack my pillows to a certain point where if I laid down, it would take some of the pressure, but it was still there. Instead of a 10, it was like a 7.
Okay.
You know? And so I was like, okay, something's really wrong. I called Dana, you know, and he was like, dude, get him to the hospital. You know, his life's more important than, you know, this one fight. We'll get him another fight in a sense, you know? And it's, like I said, that's what it makes me feel better that, you know, this will never happen again, but it makes me think of, that he does care about our health, not only
about
the fight at hand. And I was like, and he goes, get him to the hospital. And this was at 9 o'clock, right? We didn't end up going to the hospital until 12. Cause I was like, let's just wait and see if it goes away. And it never did. And at the point I was like, hey, I gotta go. You know, I have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and you know, of course, coaches and everybody are trying to say we can do this. We can do this. And I was like, man, I know my body.
Yeah.
You know, I know what's going on, and something ain't right. And you find out that instead of drawing muscles from or water from your muscles, your organs dried out, and you know. That could have turned out really bad.
Yeah, no kidding.
If
could have killed you.
You know, well, yeah, you know, and what I really am thankful for is that, let's say Dana White's like, no, Johnny, hey, let's do a catch weight at 175. You know, we make 175. And then all of a sudden, I go out there and I get kicked in the stomach. And once you get kicked in the stomach, you know, something bad happened at that point.
So what exactly was the diagnosis?
It was dried up organs, pretty much. My intestines were dried up.
Wow. Ooh. Damn. I mean, I've dried up plenty of women.
And I had a kidney stone. I had a kidney stone and dried up organs.
Oh, wow. And you can't fight with that, you pussy? What's going on? Come on, man. This is what...
hey, here's the thing. I have fought with some stuff. Everybody knows. I have fought with injuries in my career.
Yeah.
But this is for me, this is one of them that I could not.
You are a complete warrior, man. I'll watch you fight a kidney stone. I'll watch you fight anything, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, you're one of my favorite fighters. We'll get an echo on this, right? I know that now, everyone seemed to be making fun of you on social media. They were upset, this and that. Did you log off social media completely and just not even look at the internet?
Well, realistically, I know there's going to be haters out there, you know?
Yeah.
I know there's going to be guys that are sitting here, you know, that have never cut weight, have never done anything, that are going to give their two cents. That's just the way our world works. And to me, I'm just like, yeah, it sucks that they're doing this. But then again, you know, it comes with the territory. You know, it comes with the fact that my life is on social media. Everything I do is on social media. And you got to take the good with the bad. And that is a bad. But it also, you know, it also fueled me. You know, that's where, again, Lewis comes into play. Nutrition comes into play. That's where, you know, I'm starting to really crack down on some things that's going to make my life better and my fighting better. And that's really what it all boils down to, that I will come back stronger and better than I was.
I mean, you always do. You always do. I have no doubt. Now, I know your wife is super hot. I've like met her. She's smoking. Did she take care of you? And like, you know, she's like, Johnny, you're still my champion. And like,
did she do all that? You know what? She did. She was like, you know, what's funny is that, like literally, I got home 3 days later. I went and we bought some dog food, which is three bags, 127 pounds, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy. I threw them over my shoulder. I was walking back and I set them down. I was like, son of a gun. You know, I got lightheaded. I was like, whew. And she looked at me and sort of what you just said, don't be a wimp, you know? But she was joking around with me. And I know that, but you know, that's one thing that I do like is that no matter what happens, my wife is there, you know, through the good and the bad. And, you know, this is definitely a bad one because, you know, you do have all the fans and everybody who, you know, I do feel bad that I did miss a fight. You know, this is the first time I've ever missed weight in my whole entire life. And that's almost 20 years of cutting weight.
Yeah.
And not being able to compete in something like this, it does suck. But like I said, I am going to get better from it. I am going to get stronger with this. And that's really all that I can think of is use this negative as a positive and get it done and move forward.
Now, Woodley was talking a lot of smack. I mean, he really wanted that fight. He was calling you out. And now, do you think he deserves the next title shot, or do you like still want to fight Tyron? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, I'd like to fight Tyron. I think it'd be a good fight. You know, does he deserve it? You know, realistically, we could both argue that we both deserve one right now. Yeah. You know, before this last fight, we got jumped by the number four guy. Or five guy. I don't know what he's ranked right now.
Condit,
But, yeah, Condit. It is what it is. You know, the fans spoke. They wanted to see something. And so what we have to do is we have to say, okay, well, how do we get back to where we're on top? You know, and that's really where my head's at is sitting here going, okay, this went bad, that went bad. All right. I want to get back to the title. How do I do this? I do it by taking fights, you know, with Lewis being on my side now, the way that he's talking, he wants me to walk around at 185, but looking like I do at 195. I just hired a new strength conditioning coach. Right now, I think he is, he's the number one ranked guy in Texas for Texas Strongman.
Wow.
He's my strength conditioning coach. Then I got Tony Cabela, and I'm going to keep adding on to that and moving forward. And that's all I can think about is.
That's great. I love it. We have Lou on the phone right now. Lou, how's it going? You're talking to MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, the Greg Wilson, and your new protege, Johnny Hendricks.
Johnny Hendricks.
So, Lou, how
what's
are
up,
you?
Man? Lou.
This ain't Lou.
This is not Lou?
No.
Oh, okay. We must have got the wrong number.
I'm some guy in Jersey.
Oh, come on. Is this Lou?
No.
Oh, all right.
I'm hanging out in Jersey.
Oh, all right. I think we called the wrong Lou.
Thanks for calling me, though.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I don't know who that guy was.
Hello, what are you guys talking about?
You're on the phone. What's up, sir? You're on the phone with Johnny Hendrix. We must call the wrong guy. But
I don't know who the hell Johnny Hendrix is.
Johnny Hendrix is the former UFC champion.
Oh, it's wrestling, huh?
Yeah. Pretty much. Mixed martial arts.
Oh, mixed martial arts.
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Anyway.
You got the wrong number. Right. Yeah, I don't watch it.
All right. Thanks. All right. Take care, Lou.
I could talk about like college football or something.
No, it's okay.
Rutgers. Rutgers. You'd be a fire athletic director and a coach.
It's okay, man. Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it.
Any questions about that?
All right.
Where do you bury the bodies? Where do you bury the bodies out there?
All right. Thanks, Lou. I'll talk to you later, man. Sorry, Johnny.
By the way, he still wanted to be interviewed.
Yeah,
though.
He wanted to talk about college football.
He's like, hey, what do you want to talk about? I mean, you got me on the phone here. You woke me up. You got me on the phone. What do you want to talk about? I love that. That's the only Jersey with someone answer that just go like, just go with it.
Yeah, he doesn't even know who that was.
Johnny. Hello,
is this Lou?
Huh?
Is this Lou? Johnny.
No, this is Johnny.
Are we calling Lou?
Okay, Johnny. Hey, Johnny, I know you like
you
to
guys.
Dip. I know you like to dip.
You
Do you
guys.
Stop dipping when you're going into a fight, or you just dip right through?
Oh, I dip right through.
Are you one of those guys that can swallow your dip, you know, like swallow the spit, and not, like if you don't have a cup or you can't spit it out readily?
I can be that.
Ugh.
But if it doesn't happen...
If it doesn't happen, it is what it is. You just swallow that and keep on. Have you ever dipped during a fight?
No, you can't. Now, I've dipped it in practice.
Okay.
Because I know I'm not going to get hit in the face.
Right.
But.
Yeah, that shit would fly everywhere, wouldn't it? That'd be hilarious.
That was so funny. I want to talk to the other guy. That guy was hilarious. I actually want to know about his college football picks now.
Yeah. He likes Rutgers, so he clearly doesn't know shit about college.
Hey, is this Lou?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how's it going, man? We got your protege, Johnny Hendrix, on the phone. How are you, man?
I'm great, man. How are you, Johnny? How you doing, brother?
Doing good. We're glad you got you on the right. Got you on the phone now.
we called some other guy that
some random Jersey guy who just wanted to be interviewed because he answered the phone.
Yeah, he was.
He goes, "Hey, well, you got me? What are we talking about here?"
So Lou, how did you and Johnny hook up?
I had I put out a press release, you know, offering my services to Johnny, and you know, a mutual friend of ours sent it over to him, and I guess he read it, and we decided to speak after that, you know.
Now you did a great job with Eddie Truck Gordon. I mean, that guy, I've never seen him look more ripped in my life.
Thank you.
Is that your plan for Hendrix? You gonna get him down to 135 or what?
Well, yeah, 125. We're thinking maybe in 2 weeks.
So. I mean, so now your whole thing. I mean, so what are your plans for Johnny?
To make him, you know, stronger, leaner, faster, and not get tired during his training and also his fights, and just be overall healthy for the rest of his life as well.
Now, you also said that you actually like the IV. A lot of people are against the IV ban. You're actually for the IV ban.
Yes, sir. Because I feel like what it does is it does promote extreme weight cutting. Because it allows guys to rely on fueling up, not worrying about how dehydrated they are, because they could just go and get hydrated with some IV. So it'll force guys to actually do things the right way and a little bit healthier, and force them to be, again, healthy all year round. And that's what I preach. And so I'm definitely for that. The safety of the fighters, longevity.
Johnny, how often do you use the IV band? I mean, the IV. The IV.
How often? Every time. Oh, Johnny, sorry.
Every time?
How often? Yeah, I use the IV every time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
For like, let's see here. I'd say probably the last 4 or 5 years.
Wow. So this is going to be a big change for you.
Well, you know, realistically, I did since I was 12 to 24, 25. I never used an IV.
Right.
You know, from wrestling. So I get what he's saying. So what he's going to do is he's going to get me back to where I was in college, but healthier. You know, I can't eat and do the same things I did in college because, you know, in MMA, you lose 5 pounds in a practice. Where in college, you know, on a given day, I'd lose anywhere from 9 to 12 pounds of practice.
God, I wish I had that problem. On any given day, I gain 9 to 12 pounds.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say, you have the worst cocaine body I've ever seen, by the way.
I know. I'm the only fat cokehead in the world.
You're the only fat cokehead.
My body doesn't react to it at all.
Unbelievable. Now, Johnny, I was looking at some of your high school. So your high school record was 101-5.
Wow.
As a freshman, you took 5th in the country in college, sophomore 1st, junior 2nd, senior year, you lost to Mark Perry. I actually watched that match again last night. It was a close match. You got tilted with 10 seconds left. I'm sure that must have bothered you forever, right?
You know, I did. But then again, everything that happens, you always got to learn. You always got to get better. And that's sort of what I did. I used it as a learning tool and move forward. You know, I was always, you know, I always tell people, do what you love and go that way. And whenever I was sitting there in college and hero back, buoy, buoy, back.
Is that the college you went to?
Yeah, what college is that? Dog training college or something?
Yeah, dog training college. Yeah.
He's bringing Louie back.
You learn that you're sitting there going, okay, this happens. It happens for a reason. You know, I'm a type of guy that everything happens for a reason. What is that reason for? You learn from it. And that was one of the reasons that, hey, if I don't lose that fight or that match, I'm not in MMA probably.
Yeah.
I'm probably going, the world trials and all those kind of things.
So now you're ranked 3rd. How much does it bother you? Because I'm looking at your things. Like, you've almost always been number 1 your entire life. And it's funny because, like, when I met you, you're the most laid-back guy I think I've never met. You're just the most nicest, unassuming person. But you're a competitor. Jesus, you're a competitor. So you being ranked 3rd right now, is it eating you alive? Or are you okay? Are you like, all right, you know, I can't wait to get back in there? What's Johnny Hendricks like right now?
I am like, I want to get back to number 1.
Yeah.
That's why I'm training. That's why I have Lewis. That's why I'm doing everything I can now to refocus my life, to get my everything lined up. So whenever I make my run again, it's there. And it's not only there, but it's something I can, continue down the road. You know, I knew once I got to the belt, that's where the fun begins for me, right? Well, I didn't do the small things right. Now that I know that, I got to take a step back and say, how do I get the small things right? I do this. I hire somebody like Lewis. I get my camp set up the way that I want it. You know what I mean? And have coaches that are going to sit there and say, do this. And you know, I for me, I love having discussions. You know what I mean? Like, so me and Coach Smith had a lot of discussions. And I love that. It brings me closer to my coaches. And that's what I want. I want them to push me to the brink of where my mental stage, where you got to dig a little bit deeper to get that much more out of it. That's where my head's at. And I know that's what's going to get me back to where I want to go.
Now, have you thought about going to like a Greg Jackson's camp or an AKA or even going to like in Canada, Faraz's gym over in Canada? Have you thought about maybe doing that rather than doing your own makeshift kind of gym?
I've thought about that, but you know, realistically, for the last 4 years, I've been going with, the smaller show fighters. You know, that's who I train with. That's the people I work out with. That's who I sort of get my camp built up around, is guys like that. I don't have 5 top ranked guys in my gym.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you do that? I mean, what's the argument against that?
Well, the argument against that is that now you're sitting here. Have you ever talked to some of the guys from Jackson? You know, they say it's hard to get time. with the coaches. Have you heard that from?
I have. I have heard that guys over at Alliance left Alliance because of that.
Yeah. So sometimes it's hard to get that. Where I'm the totally opposite. I want my other fighters to grow as well. Okay. So I want to know that whenever I go into a training camp, that I can sit here and say, hey, I'm going to be here at 8 o'clock. You know, you can have some other guys there at 8, but I don't want, if I have three other guys competing at 8 o'clock, or let's say 4 at some gyms, some of them have like 8 or 9 fighters that might be fighting around the same time. Now your time goes from being an hour of your own to where you might only get 20 minutes.
Yeah, but who's going to come to your gym to push you, though? That's my fear for you, is that you're the big show in the small gym. Who's going to come there? Who's the Hector Lombard who's going to do his judo on you? Who's the GSP guy that's going to use his jab against you, or, you know, something like, who's the guy that's going to push you harder than you, than you know, who are the guys that are going to bully you at like your gym that you need to get better?
Well, that's the same question that that's what people have been doing to me for years, is that, okay, it's not about, okay, so the best way to say this is that I can get 5 guys right now and pull them out of each gym, and they're going to be a lower level fighter, okay? Mm-hmm. And what I can do is I can make it where it's harder on me than it is those guys, and they will actually start to win in some areas if I don't keep my focus, keep my head right. Because, so for example, I have 5 guys. Let's say I got 5 guys right here, and they're going to be at my disposal tonight's practice.
Right.
I'll sit and say, okay, it's sparring. I want 2 minutes out of you, 2 minutes out of you, 2 minutes out of you, and 2 minutes out of you, and 2 minutes out of you. Okay, now you're looking at where they only have to, they can sit there and say the first guy is going to get the worst, second guy, third guy, you know what I mean? And it starts to taper off. Then you sit there and say, okay, we're going to do another round of that. So now you're looking at, okay, I got 10 minutes, right? Now I'm doing another 10 minutes and another 10 minutes where you have to push yourself. Where, like, for example, there's been times that I've been in the gym with some guys that I literally say, I'm not going to throw a punch until my coach says I can throw a punch. So
okay.
Guess what they do? They will literally come at you with everything you got, which you have to learn to defend. And because it might be a fight, you know, where the guy rocks you and he's coming at you with everything he has, and you have to survive. You know, there's
so I think it's obviously that you know what you're doing, basically. you seem to have it all figured out. Now, I ran into a guy one time who's told me that he ran into you, and that he said that you have 3 daughters, but if you have a son, you said you're going to stop fighting. Is that true?
No.
Oh.
No. Hey. He's going to be tough. Okay. For example, I wouldn't want him to follow my footsteps, but he will be a wrestler. He will play baseball, and he will play football. Okay.
That's so Texas,
things that he will do.
All right.
And if I will teach him what I know, which is not a lot, but I will teach him what
so
I know.
So he won't cut weight. No, I'm kidding.
Well, he will.
Not as long as I'm around, he will not be cutting weight.
I'm just kidding.
Touche. Well, I'll do little things like that, but I want my kid to be athletic. I want him to be in sports because I know what sports did to me and did for me. That keeps your head on a path that keeps you out of the most trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and I know
keeps you
that I want, you know, definitely nowadays, it's harder to raise kids than it was when we were growing up. You know, that's what been, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, I got my daughter that she can run an iPad probably better than some 40-year-old.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So, Lou, Yeah, yeah, totally. So I totally understand what you're saying. So Lou, so Johnny's kind of your meal ticket, right? I mean, if say Johnny comes in and he looks ripped and he destroys whoever's in front of him, this could be a big deal for you, right? You could be the next Mike Dolce.
First, you know, Johnny's not a meal ticket to me. Johnny's becoming a very good friend to me, and that's what's most important.
All right.
And that's what will always be important. You know, and real quick, just to go back on something, too, you know, Eddie's a guy who also used IV a lot in his career, and we didn't for his last fight, and he said he's never felt better leading up to it, and he never felt better after the weigh-in. You know, so is it a big change? Not really, you know, depending on who you have in your corner, you know?
Right.
Now, let me ask you this, Lou. Do you feel that nutrition is overlooked in MMA?
I think it's overlooked in the world since the leading cause of death in America is coronary heart disease. So it's absolutely overlooked. But yes, very much so in that. I think very little goes into the actual weigh-ins and so much goes into the fight, which, again, you know, you got to get to the scale before you get to the ring to fight. And for some reason, it's being overlooked dramatically. Until now, it's getting a lot more, you know, press because guys are, you know, getting hurt or getting sick or whatever the case may be. So it's finally getting a little bit more press.
Now, Lou, I've dated girls that have gained a lot of weight. How do I get them to you without them getting offended? Is there a way for me?
Do you have gift
they
cards?
They email me. I'll offend them for you, and we'll be
nice. But you can't say that I send it to you. You got to somehow do it where it's like
No. Listen, I've been doing it for 15 years. I have a lot of tricks up my sleeve. You know, don't worry about it.
Okay, now Johnny, what's his name, is talking a lot of smack about you. Says he can beat you, Ben Askren. Any words towards about Ben Askren?
No. Hey, he's trying to do anything he can to get in the UFC. And I'm not going to be it. Okay?
Right.
And here's the thing. I'm not worried about it. It is what it is. Again, it's nice to be noticed. But it's starting to get creepy. You know what I mean? It's starting to get like, you know, remember what GSP said one time? He said that he even thinks about it when he's going to the restroom.
Yeah.
You know, it starts to get to a point where you're like, dude, you need a hobby. Or you need, you know what I mean? Like, there's other things in life that will get you where you want to be.
Right.
And the first things first is, You never bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah, he pissed off.
You want it to feed you.
Pissed off. You know, White, yeah.
Don't sit there and get in a Twitter war with Dana White.
Yeah.
You know, or say anything bad about Dana White.
That's just dumb.
Not a good look. Now, who do you like, by the way? Because I know that you fought both these guys. Carlos Condit, you fought. It was a close fight. You won. Robbie Lawler, you won the first fight. You lost the second. I thought they could have gave you the second one, honestly. I had you winning a second fight, too. I don't know why they didn't give you an immediate rematch. But who do you like in that fight? Who wins, Condit or Lawler?
Well, it just depends. You know, Condit says, you know, he was talking on all this stuff, saying that he's very exciting. But is he going to fight like he did against Nick Diaz?
Right.
You know, I think what he's going to do is he's going to go out there with a game plan to throw some punches and run. Throw some punches and move. Throw some punches and move. Throw some punches and move. And that's really what I think he's going to do. Sort of like Roy McDonald did. You know, use his length against him. And really use, stay on the outskirts. Don't get caught up on the pin, you know, on the cage. As soon as you get caught up on the cage, Lawler's going to throw some heavy blows. And, you know, you really can't count Lawler out of any fight.
Right.
Because he's that type of fighter that can take the punishment and still move forward.
Now, Conor McGregor or Aldo?
You know what? There's a part of me that, I would like Aldo to win.
Really? Hold on, we have Conor McGregor here.
What are you talking about? Giving Aldo even an opportunity to take a shot at me? You must be out your head. When you got dehydrated, it must have taken some water from your brain. Wow.
So, Johnny, do you have anything you want to say to Conor McGregor?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm not the trash talker. I like my fight to, you know, do it. Here's the thing. Is I really think that, you know, Mendez opened up his game.
Yeah.
You know, I think that really showed people that, you know, here's the thing. Is Mendez took it on, what, a three-week camp?
2 weeks.
3 week notice?
2 weeks notice.
2 weeks. Okay, 2 week notice. And the first round, what did McGregor do?
Nothing.
He was talking his trash, throwing his hands up. And then all of a sudden, second round, what did he do? He had his hands to his face, sitting there. You know what I mean? He was like, oh, crap. This is a different fight than I was thinking of that was going to happen. And, yes, so I think that even if you give Mendez a full camp of 10 weeks, he doesn't win that belt. You know, now does McGregor switch it up and sit there and say, okay, I need to really work on my wrestling? Because, you know, the way that he talks, is that he doesn't need to work on anything. Because, you know, he said,
I don't need to work on anything but combing my hair.
All right. All right.
Yeah. And he worked on, he almost took down, what's his face? He was walking, 135 pounder.
Oh, you're talking about your Uriah Faber?
Yeah, Uriah Faber. He said he almost took him down. You know, like he believes that he can do all these things. So is he actually working on it, or is he believing that he can? And Aldo has good takedowns. Aldo has good stand up. So it's gonna be. I'm sort of excited to see how that fight turns out.
Me too. Me too. Connor.
I'm going to chew him up like Brazilian barbecue.
Wow. Well, listen, it was such an honor to have you, Hendrix, on the podcast. I've been a fan of yours since college, and I'm really happy to meet you, Luis Giordano. You seem like a great guy, and I'm happy you guys seem like it's a match made in heaven right here. So
thank you very much, man.
So thank you guys both for being on the podcast. Let's know how it goes. And Luis, how can people find you?
Social media is all at Lutrition, LUTRITION. Twitter is at Lou_Trition, and then my website's lutrition.net.
Cool. And Johnny, are you going to be in Vegas December for those fights?
You know what? As of right now, I haven't got contacted, but, you know, we'll see. You know, it sort of depends on everything that's going on, you know, with me and my management group. As soon as we find that stuff out, I think we'll have a better understanding.
Well, I hope you can make it. I'll show you the proper way to groom your beard.
Thanks. Well, thank you guys, and have a great week, and you guys are the best.
Hey, thank you,
man.
You're
awesome.
Thank you.
Take care. All right. That was Johnny. What a nice guy, right?
He really is a great guy. First of all, I love him as a fighter. I love him as a guy, and I love him as a Texan.
Yeah, Texas.
You know what
I
mean? Yeah, he's got that whole. That's the thing. He said he's going to teach his kid to play baseball and football and all this. But you know, he's also going to teach him how to hunt and how to fish and how to skin shit and prepare the venison in the field. That's real Texas shit.
It's so funny because he keeps having three daughters. It's always funny when you get
watch this kid be gay.
I was almost going to say that.
Right?
I was like,
but
I'm not even going to come close to putting it out there.
Yeah.
But it's like Dan Gable. Remember Dan Gable, who I don't even know, he's like the best wrestler of all time, one of them at least. And he had four daughters, you know.
Well,
like,
that's the player's curse.
A lot of times these guys have, like, for some reason, these great athletes.
Nature knows the kind of guys that can protect daughters.
is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
All right. Well, I want to thank our sponsors, D-Cypher, D-I-Cypher. It's a lifestyle firm designed to help you reach your full potential through personal coaching. Guys, everybody needs a personal coach. Everyone can benefit from feedback and an outside perspective. Call them today at 1-888-731-COACH and book your free coaching session. That's 1-888-731-2622, as well as American Icon Autographs. Sean is the best. AIASE.com, the best sports, celebrity memorabilia, and events. AIASE.com, as well as Tip a Fighter. Fighters are underpaid. Trust me, we can make a difference. You can give these people money. Okay, give Ashley Evan Smith money, give Kevin Lee money, give Bubba Jenkins. All your favorite fighters are now signing up with Tip a Fighter, and we can help pay them what they deserve. Also, yes. Now, somebody who we got to call right now, this guy, Andre Touchy Feely, coming off a knockout win in Mexico, which is good. Cause
I've had a couple of those.
You really?
Well, I wouldn't call them wins, but I got knocked out. They were a knockout good time.
Touchy Feely is you could see him on The Ultimate Fighter, actually, every week. He's part of Team Faber. He almost got into that brawl with Conor McGregor. Which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
He was there. He also dated Paige VanZant.
Nice.
And he's in three bands. This dude's got a very interesting life.
Boy, this guy's doing everything he can to collect the pussy.
Oh, my God. I was with him in Vegas, and chicks were just falling over this kid.
God damn.
They were like, is that guy single? I'm like, you fucking guy.
Listen, let me tell you something. There's a lot of guys that aren't getting laid, and there's some guys getting all their fucking pussy.
This kid's, like, ridiculous. And he's a badass, too. He was like, in high school, he had to wear an ankle bracelet for getting like in
Talk
street
about
fights.
The bad boy.
Yeah,
Jesus
yeah, total
Christ.
Bad boy. He's got a tattoo on his head now.
Hello?
Hey, we got Andre Touchy Feely on the podcast coming off a huge win in Mexico. Look great. How are you, man?
What up? How's it going?
That was awesome, by the way. That was you really like that was a huge knockout. That was a big win, man. Because you had two fights losses in a row. You kind of were. I was like, fuck. I hope you don't cut this kid. You came back strong. How good did that feel?
Feels good, man. I bounced between wins and losses.
Oh right.
I went win loss. Which don't get me wrong, isn't any that much fucking better. I really needed this win, man, to prove you know like that I belong to be. I belong, you know, where I'm at and to prove that, you know, I'm one of the best guys in the fucking division. I just want to fight again, man. I want to fight as much as possible. It was a big win, man. I'm super thankful for it.
That kid was good, too. Gabriel Benitez, that kid was no joke. It wasn't like you beat some scrub. You beat a good guy. Solid,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, fucking tough. He's super tough. Honestly, I don't think I've had a really easy fight since I've been in the UFC. There are no easy fights in the UFC, obviously.
No, there are.
Top of the fucking game. But I haven't really had any fight where it was like, oh, this is the guy you fought through. Like,
yeah.
In my opinion, I've only had tough fights, you know, and I've only had tough matchups. And yeah, I don't mind that, but, you know, it's like this sport's only fucking worth being in if you're going to win, you know? So it's so good to get in there and kind of prove a point.
It's so true. I mean, your second fight, you fought Max Holloway. They've been throwing maniacs at you. So it's really good. Now, what was it like? I saw you. I've been watching The Ultimate Fighter. I'm not all caught up yet. I just got past the thing where you and Cody got into that brawl with Conor McGregor. Yeah. How real was that?
No, it was real for sure. I mean, it's not staged. You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely a lot of editing that goes into that show, so everything you see might not be exactly how it happened, but no, that was real, man. I mean, the thing is, I don't dislike Conor. I think Conor's fucking hilarious. I think he's a good fighter. I think he's good for the sport. As a person, I think he's all right, man. I don't dislike the guy at all. But if you rock a bunch of strong personalities in the same room, like me or Cody McGregor, you know, we'll all start talking shit. Like, at some point, it's going to come to a head. You know, For a lot of the season, there was no real problems, you know. But it's like that thing, like, I'm not going to let him impose on me, and he's not going to let me impose on him. So, you know, we're kind of throwing jabs at each other, talking a little bit of shit, and then before you know it, you know, he's trying to get dad. Cody hops up. I push one of his teammate guys. You know what I mean? Like, shit escalates quickly, you know. We all got strong personalities, like, we're fucking fighters, you know. So,
yeah.
It was definitely real, man. It was fucking real, for sure. I mean, I was ready for it to back off.
Now, how do you think you do when you match up against Conor right now?
Honestly, I feel good against anyone in the world, you know? And, like, I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for saying this. People are going to be like, oh, he's Conor and crush him, whatever. Dude, I train with some of the best guys in the world, and I genuinely believe that I'm one of the best 45ers in the world. And I don't say that. I do my best to not say things like that because I still have to prove that, man. I've been more inconsistent than I would like to be in the UFC going, you know, win-loss. I still have a lot to prove, so I don't like to be a guy that's talking about how I'm the best guy in the world. You know, I got a little more to prove, you know, but a lot more to prove, actually. But I genuinely believe I'm one of the best guys in the world. If you put me in a cage with Conor, I can beat him. If you put me in a cage with anyone in the world, I can beat them. Like, I genuinely believe that.
I like your attitude, man. And I had a good time hanging out with you in Vegas. I was at the Chad Mendes Connor after party. And you guys, and I'm telling you, hanging out with you sucked, though, because you got so much pussy thrown at your way. I was like, shit. This kid's like young, he's tatted up, he's got style. It was rough, man. It was rough hanging out with you.
We're all just fucking doing the best we can, dude.
Did you ever do the pussy stack?
What's that?
You ever do the pussy stack when there's like three on top of each other, and then you just bang your way up and then bang your way down?
I've never done three. That's on my list of things to do for sure. I enjoy a good threesome as much as the next guy for sure. Don't get me wrong, but I've never had three girls stacked on top of each other. No, that's not my bucket.
Man, we'll have you back on the show the second you do that.
No. Last time you were on the show, you said that you loved anal with girls. That was like your thing.
That's not at all what I said. What I said was, I think anal is just as cool as the next guy, but like anal is either cool or it's not, and it goes from like it can go bad very quickly, and you realize like what the fuck am I? What am I doing? Like I personally don't think anal is all that cool, like I because it can get messy fast.
It can get gross.
Like, yeah.
The worst is when all of a sudden the room begins to smell like shit.
It's one of the things that's way fucking cooler in theory. You know what I mean?
No.
On paper, it's fucking cool, but really, in real life, it's not that fucking cool.
On paper, but on toilet tissue, it's
now, last week, we had Andrew Yates on the show, who's fighting Anthony Gutierrez. Andrew Yates was saying that back on The Ultimate Fighter 18, he was dating Paige VanZant. And I said, was Paige a virgin? And he said, hell no, back then. So he said, not even close, right? So is this all a big scam, this Paige that is a virgin? Because I know that she dated you, and then she dated Cody No Love, and then Cody was saying that she wanted to wait till marriage to have sex and this and that. But Andrew Yates kind of spilled the beans last week on the show. So you being in the mix, and that you being a guy who dated Paige, tell us what happened.
As far as I know, she's waiting until marriage, man. Haven't you seen the interview? She's a fucking Christian. She's a sweetheart, dude.
I know you don't roll like that. Come on, man. This is touchy-feely we're talking about.
Hey, listen, man. I'm not at liberty to discuss that, but if you're asking for my official statement, yeah, as far as I know, she's fucking waiting until marriage.
His official statement.
I love the official statement, which we all know is the lie.
Yeah, the official statement. It's such bullshit.
Yeah,
maybe she's a born-again virgin. You know, some people do that when they're like...
When they're 20?
Yeah, they'll be like, you know what? No more. And then, you know, after a certain amount of time, they consider themselves a virgin again.
That's... I don't know.
Hey, listen, man. That has nothing to do with me, all right? I'm fucking... I love everyone on my team equally. I fucking... We're a big family. I don't know what that guy's talking about. It's got nothing to do with me. That's awesome.
All right. Now, are you still in three bands right now?
Every time I come on this show, you guys are trying to get me in some fucking trouble. Like, do you not know that, like, the UFC, like, is looking for any reason to fucking hate my guts? Like, the fans, like, this sport is so... It's so... Like, all it takes is for you to ask me one stupid ass question and me have the wrong answer, and the next fucking time I get on Twitter, Bloody Elbow is going to say I'm a fucking... I'm a misogynistic chauvinist.
Yeah, they love to take everything out of context. Mm. Can't even have a good joke.
Thing, and then people are going to tell me what a bad curse I am. So anything to do with that, I'm fucking staying out of it.
I hear you, man. Ball. I hear you. How's your music career?
It's going good, man. I've been writing music a lot more lately. It's just so hard, man, being so... Like, for this Benitez fight, I was on the gym. I was training three or four times a day, man. I was getting 4 days in. Like, I just ate, slept, breathed, fighting for 2 months, which is the way it has to be when you're in fight camp, you know? Like, I didn't care about anything else but beating Gabriel Benitez, you know? It paid off, and I'm really thankful. But because I'm so focused on that, you know, you don't get time to do a lot of other things.
You got your whole life for music. You got plenty of downtime. Right now...
Right now, it's all about fighting for me. You know?
Yeah, that's probably a smart...
I don't give a shit about anything else.
It's probably a smart thing.
But in my downtime, when I do get some time, I'll sit and write some music. And I'm hoping to have a little EP of some stuff I got done coming out in the next couple of months. But, you know, it's more just... I just enjoy writing music, and I enjoy, like, you know, like a lot of my friends perform locally in SAC, and it's just cool. I love music. I love so many different kinds of music. I love being in the music scene in Sacramento. And so I'd like to get some content put out, but man, right now fighting is just my main focus. You know, I know all this shit that I like to do. I like to skate. I like to make music. I like all these other things. I fucking suck at them, you know? So I'm good at fighting. I'll probably stick with fighting because I'm a terrible skater and I'm not as good at making music as all my friends. So
whatever, man. You just keep being you, dude. Give me a break. Doesn't matter how, I mean, look, you're making a living fighting.
I'm gonna stick with fighting because that's what comes fucking.
Now, you should be a guy with tip a fighter, by the way. I don't know if Bubba talked to you, where the fighters can actually give you money. You'd be a great guy for Tip a Fighter. Now we got to ask you, as far as all the controversy at your gym, between Dwayne Ludwig leaving, how is that affecting you? Did he really try to sell you guys peanut butter? Did he really not train women? Come on, tell us what happened.
Honestly, the shit the Faber said, man, when he was on Hawaii, like, everything was fucking spot on. You know, like, Faber's not a guy that's going to bullshit. So, like, if you want to hear the full story, man, Faber has the full story when he did the interview with Ariel. And dude, that's the fucking story, man. That's true. Like, there's nothing fabricated about that story. The crazy thing is, man, like, fuck it. It feels like Dwayne left. So, like, even when Dwayne won the second coach of the year, he had already been gone. He wasn't training yet. Like, he's been gone for so long that that's not even a thing. Like, it's
right.
Weird. Like, you know, not that your question is irrelevant or whatever, because there has been a bunch of, there really hasn't been drama, but there's been a bunch of stuff that the media has tried to make into dramatic shit.
Yeah.
But that question almost feels like it's like so far. I see that.
Yeah, right.
I've been in the UFC for 2 or 3 years, and so it's like Dwayne's been gone.
It's like when you know a couple breaks up, but then it finally gets released in the press, but you know personally they've broken up for a year now. It's not big news.
Yeah, it's just not a. It's weird, you know. It's like Dwayne's been gone for so long; it's not even a factor.
Now it's
TJ leaving did suck, you know what I mean? Because that's like our brother. Like, to me, TJ is a guy I looked up to, you know, a guy you always kind of look to like as an older brother. All the guys on team are like, you know, older brothers or younger brothers. Like, we're all family, you know. So TJ leaving sucks on a personal level. On a professional level, man, I wish the best. Like, nothing but the best. Like, if that's what he felt like he had to do was go train at somewhere else, then that's his call, you know? Like, I only wish the best for TJ.
Now, it seems like they're trying to make, like, if TJ beats Dominic Cruz, which is going to be hard. I mean, Dominic Cruz is not a cakewalk for anybody. I can't wait for that fight. Yeah. I keep going back and forth who I think's going to win that fight. Now, it seems like they're trying to make Faber versus TJ. If that happens, who would win in sparring? Tell us the truth. Faber,
because I have nothing to say about that.
Oh, come on! You're giving us nothing,
I don't want to see those guys fight because I love them. That's what has to happen. And I damn near might not even watch that fight. To be completely real. That's what's family to me. That's like those dudes. You understand? Like, where I come from. Like, I don't like my. That's like my second family, Alpha Male. So that'd be like me asking you if your uncle and your brother fought, who would win? You're like, I don't want to see that shit. You know what I'm saying?
My brother.
I think if your big brother and your middle brother fought, who would win? You know what I mean? And millions of people are gonna watch.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to talk shit about it afterwards.
But they're also getting paid. I mean, they're getting paid. They're signing up for it. And don't
sure.
You know, Faber wants that belt more than anything. Maybe even more than TJ.
There's no victims here, but that's definitely a thing that, like, I'm not stoked to fucking watch. Like, I'm not even in front of that. Like, I'm not excited to fucking to watch the fight. Yeah, I want no fucking part of that. But I do think TJ's going to beat Cruz, and I'm happy for him. And the thing is, people keep asking about, like, oh, TJ leaving, this and that. It's like, man, it sucks because I love the guy, and it sucks that we don't get to share with him anymore, you know? But on a professional level, I wish the best for him. And as far as the rest of the team goes, dude, we're closer than ever. Like, if anything, it made a lot of us appreciate what we have, dude. Like, people don't understand. Like, they think it's like this corny thing that every team says we're family. Like, you understand, like, I went and saw my mom and my little sister and my grandma for a couple hours on Thanksgiving, like, just because, like, you know, like, my family situation is whatever. Like, I wanted to see my little sister for Thanksgiving. So I spent some time with my biological family on Thanksgiving. As soon as I was done, I went to Faber's house.
Right.
Like, it's a family. Like, we we all sit and make dinner and watch tapes and, like, help each other and, like, we train 3-4 times a day together. It's like, it really is like a family, man. And TJ leaving, I think, brought everybody closer together, dude. Like, Sabre got a new house, like this big headquarters for everybody. Like, we're always over there. And, like,
how much puss is Sabre getting? Is it just,
it's gotta be crazy.
Is it naked chicks everywhere at that house? Tell us what that.
Listen, it's trickle down economics, dude. He's a big wolf. He eats first. We just fucking. I'm just out here trying to catch the scraps.
Hey, it's got
to
be a lot of good fall off pussy too.
There's no way you're getting scraps, dude. Give me a break.
It's trickle down economics, dude. He's a fucking big wolf, man. He's the man.
Now, what's that new tattoo on the side of your head?
Oh, that was my first tattoo I ever had. Actually, that was my first tattoo ever.
Oh, because you can't see it a lot, though. A lot of times you can't. Maybe because
you're. See it a lot. My hair goes out. My hair's cut. You can see it. That was the first tattoo I ever got, and I got it on my head because I was 19, and I was like, you know what? Fuck this. Like, I'm a scumbag. I'm fucking from the street. I don't have shit going for me. I'm going to make it as a fighter, or I'm not going to make it at all. I'm never going to have a regular business, like a regular 9-to-5. So I fucking tattooed my head, and just there was no turning back.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I like wish we had you in, like, studio. Such a good guy. It's always good talking to you, buddy. Now, have you banged Rowdy Beck?
What the fuck are you trying to? Are you like when you call me? Did you just take your question to end my fucking career?
I'm just wondering.
I have to thank Rowdy Beck or any of the other female fighters on the roster who are to be respected and fucking treated as equals. Let me throw that out there so it was fucking listening.
You know what's great about that statement is that's exactly what you're supposed to say, but no one's going to clip that and put that on Twitter.
Okay, so you have not banged Rowdy back. Okay, cool. All right.
She's super rad, but she's cool. We're always like bullshitting on Snapchat. She's super cool. She's funny as fuck. I think she's an awesome girl. I think she's a very entertaining fighter, I can't have friends.
No, I'm just saying you guys make a very. I love Rowdy Beck. I think she's awesome. She comes on the show all the time. Yeah. I'm friends with her. I'm just saying that like you guys both have tattoos on your heads. You're both like I don't know, kind of rebels. You're both small. You know, I just think that it would make sense. You know, sometimes
I'm not arguing with you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying she's not super hot. Don't give me wrong.
She's a hot chick. I mean, you're a good-looking guy.
I'm just wondering if you're trying to end my fucking career.
No, I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering if you bang Rowdy Beck. I think that would be crazy.
I just love your politician's response. They're to be respected and appreciated, and they're good fighters.
This motherfucker, Adam, before he called me, wrote out a list of questions. He goes, how can I just fucking end this shit career?
Come on. Give
no
me
way.
A
fucking,
end your career. Andre,
like,
you're
what's gonna piss off his manager the most?
You're a kid that came. You had a fucking ankle bracelet on you 5 years ago. Okay, you came from nothing. You came from nothing, like you said. You had no even sports background. Now you're in the fucking UFC. You're a role model. You got a great bunch of friends. Nothing I see is gonna end your career. Okay, I just want to know if you're banging Rowdy Beck, because I want to know if I can try to bang Rowdy Beck, and knowing that you. Bang there, I don't want anything that you have. Okay, so that's really
listen, I as far as that I'm gonna answer everything you just asked. I have not been ready back, though the idea of it is pretty rad, don't get me wrong, like I'm not opposed to it anyway. It's fucking awesome. But I have not. If I had, I still probably wouldn't tell you, but I haven't. Like I'm not like I would lie to you, but I'm not lying to you right now. And honestly, as far as you doing it, dude, Godspeed and good luck.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I want to hear all about it.
Oh, I will. You'll be the first one I call. Trust me. I'm going to call you while doing it, and then you could record a song to it, to me moaning and yelling whatever the hell's going on, and her not being impressed at all.
And then you crying and apologizing after.
Exactly. That's a good song right
after
there.
After she submits him.
Her being completely unsatisfied by it.
Now, by the way, Conor McGregor heard about you wanting to beat, saying that you could beat him. We have him here.
Yeah, first of all, I want you to know that I would pop you like a pimple, okay? You wouldn't stand a prayer. In fact, a prayer would be all that'd be left of you.
So, Conor, you think you could beat Touchy Feely?
Are you kidding me? I'd beat him with a glance.
Just looking at him?
Just staring at him would knock him out.
Wow. Touchy, anything?
That's not right.
Oh, no, that sounds about right. Yeah. My favorite thing, we were all saying when we were all out there with in Vegas, because you remember that video where like Connor's all stuffed up from weigh-ins, and like him and Faber get into it in the hallway, and
yeah,
go around a little bit. And McGregor said to him, he goes, "I'll bring your fucking nose." He says, "That's just fucking sweet." So every time we were hanging out, just sitting around, whatever, all of us from the same room, we're just us going, "I'll break your fucking nose."
That's right. I'll break your fucking nose.
I'll break your fucking nose. Like, it's just fucking like. But man, honestly, there's definitely some animosity and some fucking tension, and we all got big personalities. So we're all going to start talking shit. And like the way that I am, like, I don't even fuck who it is. Like, I can't let someone impose on me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, and I think that's the thing with most fighters. But for the most part, it was pretty, like, it was pretty fucking, it was more like sport, you know? We'd all talk shit to each other and, like, kind of kick at each other, but it was all more like, it was like verbal sparring, you know? There wasn't really that many hard feelings or that much, like, all future act. It wasn't any tough guy shit. We were all just sort of kind of fucking, you know
could,
what I mean?
Yeah, and you could tell that. You could tell when the coaches really don't like each other and when they're kind of, like, entertained by each other. You could totally see
the thing is Uriah is the fucking coolest motherfucker alive, and McGregor is like McGregor's used to be the coolest guy in his entire fucking country, you know what I'm saying? Like
in the world.
And so everybody that was around, and then you got me and you got Cody No Love and Lance Palmer and like Josh Emmett was there, you know, we're all like, we're fucking fighters, you know what I mean? Like, we all are pretty confident dudes, and like we're all used to, like, especially our team culture, we're always talking shit. So that was a lot of it, man. It was all these big personalities in one room, and for the most part, it was like just kind of, it was a lot of like one-upsmanship, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually, it does kind of boil over sometimes because we all are fighters, but for the most part, it was it was kind of just like one-upmanship, you know what I mean?
That's the way it seemed. Listen, are you going to be in Vegas? Next week?
I'll be there, man. All 3 days. I'm fucking excited.
Well, I have shows at the Stratosphere Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if you want to come.
I'll be the guy in the crowd that's way too drunk and just heckles you relentlessly.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Well, it's an honor having you on the show. You're a great
Thanks
dude.
Me,
you're a badass, bro.
You're a badass guy. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Later.
That was touchy-feely. Nice guy.
Touchy-feely.
He got so upset.
He's like,
the rowdy
he's
back.
Like, man, you're just trying to end my career. Yeah.
I'm not trying
you know
to
what,
end
though?
His
he does, I mean, we do like to have fun, and we always like to get him to say some fun stuff.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, it sucks that it's true.
Yeah.
That a lot of what we say in jest gets taken out of context, and these haters out there, these trolls, try and take it and turn it into something else.
Yeah, of
course. And then, you know what? There's a part of me that kind of... You know, I understand what he's saying.
Absolutely.
You know, because they've done it to you. They've done it to me. They do it to Bub. They do it to everyone.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, comedy, as comedians, all we're trying to do is have a good time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when you take something out of context and put it in print without any emphasis, without the context, you know, without any inflection, so you know where maybe I'm doing a character or something like that, it just sucks that people just can't let it
the
be.
Thing about, the reason I mentioned Rowdy Beck, by the way, in particular, because... she's a really good sport.
Yeah.
Like, she would laugh at that question.
Right, it seems like. Yeah.
I mean, as far as I know, it seems like she would get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
You know, even like when I make fun of Angela Magana, she's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
She laughs at that.
She gets it.
I wouldn't do that to Misha Tate because she would get very...
She'd probably take it very seriously.
Very serious. Yeah. She doesn't seem to have much of a... sense of humor about herself, which,
well,
you know.
And the great thing about Johanna Jędrzejczyk, she wouldn't know what the fuck it means. She wouldn't understand it to begin with. So
yeah.
He could say it.
That happens a lot with the Brazilian fighters,
yeah,
is that I see people on Twitter insulting them, and they're just writing back, thank you.
Because yeah, they don't have any idea.
They have no idea what the fuck people are talking about. I see that all the time. It's actually kind of funny. So what do you got this week? Anything fun?
You know me. Oh, I'm around. I'm supposed to go on Thursday night. I'm at the Improv.
Nice.
So join me at the Improv. I'll be hosting the show 8:00. So come out, see me there. Friday, take the night off to play my monthly poker game.
Are you any good?
I've won a couple times. I'm not. Here's my problem. I'm impatient. Poker takes patience, and it's like with Risk. At a certain point, I just go kamikaze and just go. You know, just start trying.
I can't see you have much of a poker face.
I don't. That's the word. And I table talk like a motherfucker. And I'm always like, I don't know these cards. Like it's true. You know if I have cards or if I don't.
I can
it's
see you pretty, being the
I'm
worst.
The worst poker player in the world, and I table talk like crazy. So I'm like, what do you got? Come on, man. I'll show you what my cards. But that's why I only play in friendly games. That's why I like this game. It's all people I'm friendly with. I know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you and Apollo Creed are good friends?
Yeah, me and Apollo, yeah, no, he doesn't come to this game, but that was at a charity event. But that's how I like to play real friendly. I get real drunk. I do some sweet struve, you know?
Come on.
I'm kidding!
People take this very seriously, poker. I can see you pissing everybody
off.
That's
why I only play in friendly games. I don't go
to
real games.
What about the celebrity events? The celebrities that hate you afterwards?
Well, totally. They're like, can someone get this guy off my table? I'm like, you can't get me off. I'm winning right now. So that's the worst. When I win, they really hate it, you know, because they think that I'm blowing it up. And I'm like, no, I've got good cards. This smile is real. They think I'm bluffing. No, I can't bluff. That's why I can never cheat on my fiance, because his face holds no secrets.
Yeah.
So I would come home, she'd know I'd been cheating.
But if you get really drunk and don't know you're cheating, does that count?
Oh, yeah. If I'm blackout drunk, that's fine. You can't accuse me of something I don't even know if I did it. I'm like, I don't know whose shoes they are. I may have filled them. I may not have.
You're so funny, man. So you kill me. By the way, you kill
me. Dude, you're the best. I love you, man.
Yeah, I love you, too. So this week, I'm going to actually cancel tonight because I got to shoot that TV show tomorrow.
Oh, that's good.
At 9 in the morning.
And you do tend to overbook yourself, so it's very smart of you to finally take that step, get a good night's rest,
yeah,
and be fresh for the camera tomorrow.
I got to go coach these kids right now. It's the first day of second semester of wrestling. But Friday night, I'll be in Fresno at the Club One Casino in Fresno. You can come see me there Saturday
you
night.
Just take every gig. All these gigs, I'm like, you don't got to take
this
shit,
pretty good.
I got to take this shit. You don't got to take
this. Saturday night, I'm at the Ice House in Pasadena.
That's nice.
At 10 o'clock. And then next week, people, yeah, I will be in Vegas at
the grand opening
at the Stratosphere Tuesday night through Sunday night.
Yeah.
And
I may come up for the weekend.
I'll be great. This is all these fights. Jesus.
That's why. I want to come up
there. I know,
there.
But
I can't go
to any fights, though.
Right, because you have your shows.
Every night. Yeah. I can go early, but I don't want to ask for tickets and then leave at like three fights in, you know, or four fights in. It's kind of a dick move.
That is kind of a dick.
Especially because, like, they hooked me up with good
tickets. But those are really the only moves you have.
Dick moves.
Where are our tickets? We were there for 38 seconds.
And then New Year's Eve, people, I will be in Lansing, Michigan at Trippers Bar and Grill. Trippers Bar and Grill.
Boy, that's you're booking the. Why do you take these gigs? I tell you what, I'm going to be for New Year's. Oh, that's great. For New Year's, I'm going to be at the Underground Comedy Club in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, that's a great one.
So, and over Christmas, I'll be back at the Comic Strip, which you just came back
from, in
El Paso.
Yes.
So, I was actually supposed to do the opening weekend for the LA Comedy Club at the Stratosphere.
Yeah.
This weekend,
but then they weren't
able to open once again. We've been planning on this like all the way through October, through November. Then there were like, hopefully this weekend, and it's like, it just hasn't come together. They've had a lot of, but it looks like it is going to open for your week, which is very exciting.
The Stratosphere.
So maybe I'll come up.
Me and Jack Jr.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll be there in January. We're hopefully going to get a date in January where I'll be out there.
Nice.
But yeah, hopefully I can come up this weekend or next weekend and just hang out.
And then Wednesday we have Mike Pyle on the show. As well as another...
Boy, that's a name that... going through school must have been tough with a name like Mike Pyle.
Mike Pyle, his first fight in MMA was against Rampage.
Ooh.
He weighed 170. Rampage was 220. Rampage threw him out of the cage. I'm going to ask him about this. First fight... First of all, if you've never fought before and you're fighting a guy named Rampage, you might want to back out of that fight. You know what? He lost by a decision. It was a close fight, Mike Pyle. Like, it wasn't even – Mike Pyle is one of the toughest dudes ever. Love Mike Pyle. And then we have another Titan FC press conference.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Thank you, Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah, Johnny, man, you're the best. I love watching you fight. You're a great guy, super funny. And you're a Texan. I love that. I grew up in Texas. Born in Cali, but I was raised in Texas, so I always got a real connection to the state.
And thank you, Lutrition.
Yeah, nutrition.
Nutrition and...
You know what, though? I think he's right. I think the nutrition thing is not focused on enough. It's a big thing. You know, you want to protect your body.
Fighters love internally. To eat. Fighters love to eat. That's the problem. You get these guys, I mean...
You work out that much every day. You want to eat.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, I understand it. I understand as a wrestler, cutting weight, making weight, ballooning back up. And it's just like, it sucks. But you got to do it year round. You just can't do what you did back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, but Johnny's going to be back. Johnny is such, you know, he's such a good guy. And he's such a tough guy. And he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, that guy hits like a fucking... I mean, he hits so hard. I was watching his highlights last night, and he just knocks. I mean, John Fitch is a maniac. He's a beast. He knocked him out in 12 seconds.
Yeah, no, that was a great fight. I remember the build up to that fight. I remember watching that fight. I remember him just going in there and wiping him out and then jumping on the top of the cage. That was an impressive fight.
Unbelievable. So I want to thank D-Cypher, D-I-Cypher. The lifestyle firm. Cypher is a lifestyle firm designed to help you reach your personal full potential. Now, check them out, and you can go to all the MMA Roast listeners, get your free intake session, call them for free. And if you book the Cypher long term, use the code ROASTED for 10% off. Remember, everybody needs a personal coach. That's a quote from Bill Gates. So I think he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he knows a little something.
Tip a Fighter. Go to Tip a Fighter at Tip a Fighter. It's not a charity, it's pay for performance. Kevin Lee. Is fighting on the UFC.
Yeah, Motown Phenom.
He's fighting on the 194 card. Kevin Lee is. He's with Tip a Fighter. So if you like the way Kevin Lee fights, throw that man money. And if you're a fighter and you want to make more money, sign up with Tip a Fighter. Okay, they're great people. As well as American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com. The best signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, everything else in between, AIASE.com. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Sideshow Network. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter, at the Greg Wilson. Do me a favor. Will somebody go out? Will you guys like my Facebook fan page? I've been sitting at 1,300 for like the...
Yeah.
It's terrible. I can use some likes on the face. I do more Twittering than I do on the fan page, but I can use some likes. Go to my The Greg Wilson, and help me out with that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.